All right, good morning, one and all. Today's daf in Tzvachim. Today's daf in Tzvachim is daf Ayin Aleph 71. We're behind, and if I can't make up ground today, then really, I mean, you know. Then really. Yeah. Plenty. Okay. Well, hopefully, okay. Our stated goal for today, we're going to finish the seventh parak today, start the eighth parak today, get through the Mishnah of the eighth parak. Okay, that's the first Mishnah. Yeah, you look at the eighth parak. The eighth parak is going to be a lot more comfortable. Okay. Seventh parak is a tough little parak in the in Tzvachim. It's a lot of the Malika issues, a lot of the Tumah issues, and okay. So it is a tough little parak, and we're going to hopefully fight our way through the end of the seventh parak this morning. We are on the topic of Malika and Tumas Nevela. Okay, let me try to set it up again. Okay, let's do it. Okay, you have an animal that dies. The animal that dies without a proper shechita is a nevela, right? It's true by animals. It's true by birds. Okay, and that nevela means, as a result of that, the animal is going to give off tumma, and that tumma is an alpha tumma. It's a source of tumma. So no different than any other source of tumma. The subtleties lie in how it conveys tumma, how you transmit tumma. So if it's a dead animal, so the conveyance of tumma is either through maga or masa, either touching or carrying. If it's a bird, the conveyance of tumma is tumas beis ablia. You have to eat a kazayas of the bird. Of the dead carcass. Okay? Okay. We also know, we've been discussing that for the past couple of days, Shechita does two things. Number one, Shechita allows me to eat the animal and eat the bird. Two, Shechita prevents the animal from being a nevela. So that if I give it a proper Shechita, there's no tumma. Tumma will not reside on the dead body of the animal. It's not a carcass. It's now meat. Okay? Carcass meat don't have halachic implications, but you understand, though. It's not nevela. It's not the dead carcass. It's now just simply basar, shchuta, shechted meat. Okay. So that's what shchita accomplishes. The discussion that we're having throughout the last sugya over here is a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. What about malika by a bird? Okay, malika by a bird. And let's say the malika wasn't a great malika. You did it at night. You did it with your left hand. Azar did it. Non-Kohen did it. Okay, it wasn't the best malika. And so therefore, I'm not going to offer it on the Mizbeach. But will it prevent the bird from being a nevela? Will it prevent the bird from being a nevela? And this is a major machlokus amongst the Tanaim. So Rav Meir says, let's give even a more basic scenario. Let's say you did malika to the bird and you find out that it's a trefa. Oh, that's an easy case. That's the best case. Because over there, I'm certainly not allowed to eat it. Right? No, trefa means that one of the organs, internal organs, were punctured or severed or what have you. I'm certainly not allowed to eat it. So that's a great scenario. So there I did malika, I did a proper malika. Is it going to prevent the bird from being a nevela? Rav Meir says yes, it will. Okay, Rav Meir's of the opinion that if I do malika to a bird and it turns out to the bird's a trefa, Rav Meir says, Eina matamim tumas beis ablia. It does not give off any tumma, it prevents the tumma. Okay, and Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says no. Now, back in the Mishnah, which we did yesterday, on Samech Tes, bottom of Samech Tes Amad Aleph, top of Samech Tes Amad Beis, the Mishnah presented an argument that Rav Meir gave on his behalf. All right, Rav Meir says it's a Kal V'chomer built on top of another Kal V'chomer. Look, I know that Shechita prevents an animal from being Tameh. I know that Shechita prevents a bird from being Tameh. So that's one Kal V'chomer. If Shechita prevents an animal from being Tameh, so for sure Shechita should prevent a bird from being Tameh. And the Kal V'chomer is because the Tumah given off by an animal is such a stronger Tumah. Right? It's Metameh B'maga, Metameh B'masa. Bird is only Metameh based Tumah space Abliya. Okay, that's one Kal V'chomer. And then Rav Meir says, and let's add to that, if Shechita prevents a bird from being Tameh, Malika for sure should prevent the bird from being Tameh. Okay? That is the two-step Kal V'chomer of Rav Meir in the Mishnah. As we've discussed yesterday, we can't do that. That's in the world of Kal V'chomer. It's interesting. It doesn't violate the Daf Nun rules of Kal V'chomer built on top of another Kal V'chomer, right? That's your Daf Nun rules. But it doesn't. It's not. That's not so much the issue as the issue is Dayo. Meaning that when I make a Kal V'chomer, the halacha that I'm learning has to be same. It can't be more, it has to be same. So we're learning from animals to birds. All I can do is say Shechita. Once I'm saying Malika, I'm going one step beyond where I'm learning it from. There's no Malika by animals. Malika doesn't exist by animals. Malika is only a bird concept. So I can't do that. I can't make a Kal V'chomer from animals to birds and then say, oh, and Malika. No, that's too much. Dayo. And we discussed yesterday the concept of Dayo. Good. So, truth be told, as the Gemara admits, that's not the real source of Rav Meir. Rav Meir is not based on... The halacha is still the same. Malika will prevent the bird from being tame. But it's not because of Kal V'chomer built on top of Kal V'chomer. It's because of drashas. Okay, now this is the tricky part. Okay, there's a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin where the Torah talks about the tumah of a bird. The Torah talks about the bird either being a nevela or a trefa. Nevela, trefa. Meaning, what is trefa adding to this whole discussion? So, Rav Meir says, I'll tell you what it's adding to the discussion, that if the bird's a trefa, even if the bird's a trefa, and you give it a proper malika, it's still going to be tame. Okay, that's the source of Rav Meir.
Wait, that's Rav Meir?
No, that's the source.
I'm sorry. Correct. I'm sorry. Well, correct. That's not the... Right, the Mitzvah Rav Yehuda, my Tama Karash Kach LeKedarish. So, my Tama Karash Kach LeKedarish, my Amar Rav Yehuda Treifel Amenemru. I'm sorry, that's all for Rav Yehuda. I'm sorry. Right, correct. Sorry, correction. Zos Taras Abehema Va'Of. That's right. All right, I'm sorry. Rav Meir's source is Zos Taras Abehema Va'Of. The Torah compares the laws of animals to birds. There we go. The Torah compares the laws of animals to birds, and just like by animals, Shechita prevents Nevela, same thing by birds, Shechita prevents Nevela. And in the Drasha, meaning this is not a Kal V'chomer. No, okay, right, good. Now I feel more comfortable. Now, right, this is not a Kal V'chomer, this is a Drasha. A Hekesh, if you will. But once we have now a Hekesh, so now we're not limited to, well, we can only be talking about Shechita. Now we could be talking about Shechita, and we could be talking about Malika as well. Okay, that is Ad Kan Divrei Rav Meir. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Then we get to Rav Yehuda. What's the reason behind Rav Yehuda? How come Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that Malika does not prevent the bird from being an Avela? Okay, and this is where things get a little complicated, because it's based, now I could say it, now it's based on... Right, Vayikra Parshas Achrimos, where there the Torah describes a bird. The Torah says Nevela and Trefa. Just and what is the Torah adding by saying the word Trefa? If the bird is a Trefa, and I give it a proper Shechita / Malika, it's still going to be Tame. Okay, that is the Drasha of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, really, if you're going to go in that route, if you're going to darshan like that, where the Torah uses the words nevela and trefa, and that gives you license to compare the two, we're going to use the same methodology and apply it to other areas of halacha. So let's do like this. Okay, that's all background. That's just, you know, just to get us comfortable where we are in the Gemara. And let's start again from Samech Tes Amud Beis. Okay, I know we're behind, but still I feel like it'll get. Let's start again. And Hachanam lamute of tame she'im b'mino trefa of tame sorry ve'ezes zuzu trefa v'chi and matame ve'ezes zuzu trefa shech okay bechlal nevel ala habi trefa sheshachta shecha b'tor mechlal duhu tame v'hamarav yeah let's do it. Okay, Amar le Rav Shizbi. Okay, halfway down the page, more than halfway down the page. Okay, we did this yesterday. I ran through this yesterday. Let's do this again today. What we're questioning now is Rav Yehuda's drasha that he makes regarding birds and using the nevela trefa equation. Amar le Rav Shizbi, elamiata dechsiv. The pasuk says vechelav nevela vechelav trefa, chelav of nevela chelav of trefa. Hasamnami neima im trefa chaya hare nevela amorim trefa inu chaya hare bechlal nevela. So over there, let's use your same methodology. What is trefa adding to the discussion? Look, nevela's dead. If trefa's gonna live, so then when it dies, it'll be a nevela. If trefa's not gonna live, so now it's a trefa right away. And yesterday we discussed, does that actually mean that while the animal's alive, it's actually a dead man, a dead animal walking? So I had that discussion yesterday. I told you Rashi, I told you Tosfos. Ela lahavi trefa sheshachta shecha b'tahor. Oh, so you know what? Telling us that if I have a trefa and I shecht it, must be that its forbidden fat is going to be tahor. So the Gemara says, what are you saying? Mechlal dehi tameya. You're telling me that if I shecht an animal, that's a trefa, animal, not bird, If I shecht an animal that's treifa, you mean to tell me that the meat is going to be tame? But that's not true. The halacha is unequivocal that if you shecht an animal, not bird, if you shecht an animal, the animal, even though it's a treifa, will not give off tumah. Everybody agrees that the shechting of an animal prevents it from being tame. Mm-hmm. Okay, tameya, to be more correct. So ela treifa mi ba'ele lemu'utei tameya. So the Gemara says, okay, we can't go that route. So here's the route we're going to go. Treifa, right? Again, we're now in the chelav pasuk, in the chiyamus. I'm sorry, not that pasuk. The chelav nevela, chelav treifa, the fats of nevela, the fats of treifa. What's the Torah telling us by adding treifa to the whole discussion? Lemeute temeya. It's telling me like this. There are kosher animals and there are non-kosher animals. Species. Right? Species of animals which are kosher. Species of animals which are not kosher. So, mishiyesh la bemina treifa, yatsasu shein bemina treifa. Oh, you know what the Torah is telling us? That this is only a discussion. The Torah is telling us that the forbidden fats are permissible, are not tamei, only by species of animals which are kosher. This is not a discussion by species of animals which are not kosher. So hachanami, limu'ute oftame. Okay, so now that we've shown you what nevela treifa come to teach us, that we're only talking about kosher type animals, so now we're going to take the same nevela treifa and we're going to bring it back to birds. Now, if we do that, we're basically saying that only kosher species birds are going to give off tuma, not non-kosher birds, 24 types mentioned in the Torah. Shein b'mina treifa. Oh, so of tamei l'Rav Yehuda min nevela nafkalei. So the Gemara says, and mind you, what's the problem right now? We don't want, Rav Yehuda doesn't want that because Rav Yehuda needs the nevela treifa to teach his halacha. I.e., that if I shecht or molek a bird, which is a treifa, it still will remain tamei. That's what he needed the nevela treifa pasuk for, but the Gemara is now arguing, well, don't you need it to teach me something else, which is kosher birds are subject to becoming tamei, non-kosher birds, there's no such thing. No such thing as tum of non-kosher birds. So Rav Yehuda minevela nafkalei. The Tanya Rav Yehuda Amar Yachotei Nivlas of Tamim Etama Begadim Abeis Abliya. So here, there's another drasha for that halacha. I might have thought that the carcass of non-kosher birds gives off tum of tamalamar nevela utrefa lo yochal mishi isurim misham bal tochal nevela. Okay, fine, he has another drasha. This drasha takes care of the halacha that non-kosher birds are not subject to tumah. Fine. Hainami. Typically, mivechelev nevela, mishi isur misham bal tochal chelev nevela, yatzazu shein isur misham bal tochal chelev nevela, ela misham tame. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Now that you're showing me this method of only chelav which is subject to the iser of treifa, it should be that now we're going to go back to the nevela treifa equation, and the Gemara says what's going to yield. So what would yield is chelav nevela mishi isur misham bal tochal chelav. I'm sorry, chelav nevela. Yatzazu shein isur misham bal tochal chelav nevela misham tamei. Right, the forbidden fats of a non-kosher animal. You know why you can't eat it? Not because it's chelav, because it's a non-kosher animal. It's not even a species. It's kosher. Ela haytrefa mi bayla su yechaye. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what trefa is coming to teach me? It's coming to teach me the forbidden fats of a wild animal. Right, achaya. Many species of animals that are quote unquote chayos, wild, non-domesticated, the kosher to eat, tzvi, ayal, deer, gazelle, and its like, those animals, those fats of those animals are not forbidden. Chelav of a chaya is permissible to eat. So the Gemara says, "Salkadat chamin mishachal basar mutter yatzazu shechalbo basar mutter." So now the Gemara says, that's what nevela treifa coming to teach me. It's coming to teach me that in those animals, because there's no segregation in those animals between its meat and its fat. Its meat and fat are both permissible. So I might have thought that if the animal dies, I might have thought that the laws of Tumas Chalev don't apply to those animals, because those fats are not different than the meats. Okay. Amale Mishnah Tmeh De Ein Chal B'Chalak MeBesara Chayinami Ein Chal B'Chalak MeBesara. So the Gemara says, really, it's interesting. The wild animals, the chayos, actually, there's no difference. There's no difference between the meat and its fats. Happens to be there's no difference, i.e. it's permissible. There's no difference by non-kosher animals between the meat and its fat. Other way, it's not kosher. And the Gemara later on will quote a brisa drasha, El Amar Abaye, Trefa Lagufa Itzterech. Okay, so again now, what we're trying to do, okay, because this is a lot of trees over here. Let's go back to the forest. What we're trying to do over here is understand, when the Torah adds the word trefa, what's the Torah coming to teach us? So in the world of Nevela, which is Nevela's birds, Nevela's oaf, so Rabbi Yehuda is trying to tell us, not trying to. Rabbi Yehuda is insisting that even though I shecht it, even though I do Malika, it's still going to be tameh. Right? How do I know that? Nevela trefa. So the Gemara says, okay, but by my pasuk by chelev, chelev nevela, chelev trefa, what's trefa there coming to teach me? So the Gemara says, okay, so Allah Amar Abai. So Abai says, I'll tell you what's coming to teach me. Trefa legufa itzrich, shalot tamar ho, tamea surah mechayim, u trefa surah mechayim. Ma tamea chel batame, av trefa chel batame. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, it's coming to tell me the following. I have a non-kosher species, right? Right. Tamei asur mechayim. When is it asur? Even before I shecht it. Non-kosher species of animal, it's asur. Utrefa asur mechayim. And the same thing is true with a trefa. Even before I shecht it, it's asur. So ma tamei achel batamei. When it comes to a non-kosher animal, the chelev is tamei. So af trefa chel batamei. I might have thought that if I have an animal that's a trefa and I give it a proper shechita, that would be great for the meat, but not for the chelev. Chelev would be tamei. Ihachi hainami mi bai shelo tamar hova of tamei asur ba'achila utrefa asur ba'achila ma of tamei enam tamei af trefa enam tama. Gemara says, okay, if you're using that argument and that logic, I'm going to take that exact argument and that exact logic and just move it back to the birds. And again, that's difficult because Rav Yehuda doesn't want to. He needs that pasuk by birds to teach me his halacha, not this halacha of, well, here's what I would have thought. So, and the Gemara says, and even just principally, what are you doing here? You're learning out the laws of trefa from the laws of a non-kosher animal slash bird. They're not comparable. Tamei lo haitha la shas kosher. A non-kosher animal never had a shas kosher. However, trefa haitha la shas kosher. But a trefa, the animal was born, it was eligible. It just happens to be that it had an accident. And it's not eligible. You can't compare the two. The chitem trefa mi beta and ma'ika la meymar. So the Gemara says, and what do you want to tell me? It's a congenital problem. It was a trefa from birth. So bemina mi'ika. Okay, that's a specific case. But in general, trefa is an animal that was kosher, and because it became a trefa, is not kosher. Ela amarava. Again, now, another attempt. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the pasuk of chelev nevela chelev trefa? What is the Torah adding with the word trefa over there? And again, the whole reason why the Gemara is going and just keeps hammering this point is because we need Rav Yehuda still free and clear by the bird nevela pasuk, by the acharei mos pasuk, where there Rav Yehuda was very clear, that's teaching me that shechita of a bird will not save it from being tameh. But what is he going to do with the chelev pasuk? So, Ela Amarava, HaTorah Amar Yavo, Isser Nevela, V'yachol al Isser Chelev. Oh. So Rava says very simple. It's not so simple, but you know what he does with that pasuk? He does the following. Chelev is forbidden fats of an animal. Right? We're not allowed to eat chelev. We're going to get to krisus. We're going to learn. Chelev is one of the 36 Isuri krisus. Okay. Animal dies now without a proper shechita. The animal becomes a nevela. That's another Isser in the Torah. Right? That's another Isser in the Torah. Now, what's our general rule? Ain Isser, Chal al Isser. Okay? Fine. So, and there are exceptions to that, and it's not always true. When we get to Krisus, we're going to discuss this at length, at significant length, when we get to Masechta Krisus, because Krisus is basically all about layering one Isser on top of another Isser. Okay. A lot of the Masechta is dedicated to that. So here, you know what the Chel of Nevela, Chel of Trefas Pasuk is coming to teach me? A big Chiddush. Big Chiddush. That the Chel of is already forbidden. Fats of an animal are forbidden, not the fat within the muscle. We're talking about the hard fats. Again, when we get to the Gemara in Chulin, we're actually going to demarcate which fats we're talking about. Okay, so here the pasuk is coming to tell me that when the animal dies without a proper shechita, the fat is aser A, mishum chelev, because that's what it is, and B, mishum nevela. It's going to be a double iser. So yavo iser nevel v'yachol al iser chelav. Yavo iser treifa v'yachol al iser chelav. It's tzricha. And don't tell me, well, once you taught me nevela, can I figure out treifa? No. The iash mina nevela mishum demetamia. Because when it comes to nevela, nevela gives off tuma. Nevela's got an aspect of it where it adds something to the discussion. Aval treifa, I'm alone, but treifa. When an animal's a treifa, that's not tame. And the iash mi'inan treifa mishum de isur mechayim. Treifa's also got something weird about it, in that it's a treifa even before the animal's dead. It has a designation of treifa even before the animal's dead. Aval nevela, but nevela, the very definition of nevela is it's not nevela until it's dead. Emalo. So it's tzricha. So that's why I have the Torah telling me, chel of nevela, chel of treifa, this is it. This is the answer. Why does the Torah specify chel of nevela and chel of treifa? To teach me that we're going to layer on top of the already existing Isser Chelev, now the Isser Nevela and the Isser Treifa. Good. Now that pasuk is taken care of. Now we can go back to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, how come if I shecht a bird, I'm shechting a bird, and the bird happens to be a treifa, how come the bird is still going to be tameh, even though shechita normally removes the tuma? The pasuk that we quoted earlier, the Achrei Mos pasuk, the all the way back on the previous. No, sorry. No, not the chel of nevela. Chel of nevela. No. My kashka v'kedas. I'm sorry. Nevela treifa. I'm sorry. Right. Okay. Fine. All right. The Rabbi Meir. Yes. Treifas mechayim.
I understand.
Yeah. Why would it? Why would I have thought?
Who cares?
It's just. It's not who cares. It's just that we can't.
I understand the first one's the samosas because there's
tumah. Right.
The second one. So okay, but treifas starts earlier. Mazel tov starts earlier, but it doesn't. You mean if you never met a chai,
it just simply means that the point I think of the Gemara is very simple.
It doesn't add anything,
but if all the Torah would have taught me is chel of treifa, I would not have been able to carry over to nevela. Because I would have argued and I would have said, treifa only is while the animal is alive. How can I compare treifa to nevela? So I need the Torah to tell me chel of treifa and chel of nevela, because without each one of them, I couldn't learn one from the other. It's just it's a unique aspect. It's not a it's not a Isser Chalal Isser issue. It's just I can't jump from here to here. Okay, I think that's the Gemara's point. V'ramer ha'treifa ma'avilei mi'bailei l'mu'ute shechita shehi lefnim. Okay, now according to Rav Meir. Okay, now we're all the way back. So remember now, basic machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. I shecht a bird, that's a treifa. Or I do malika to a bird, that's a treifa. So Rav Yehuda says, still coming. Still coming. And Rav Meir says, no, it's not. So now that I have figured out, took me almost an entire amud, but now that I figured out the source of Rav Yehuda, what's Rav Meir going to do with Rav Yehuda's source? Okay, so Rav Meir, high treifa ma'avi, let me buy lele mute shechita shehi lefnim. So it's coming to exclude shechita which is done inside the Beis HaMikdash, right? Shechita which is done inside the Beis HaMikdash. So that's not the place to do shechita. That's not appropriate. So the bird's going to be tamei. Rav Yehuda treifa achrin aksiv, and according to Rav Yehuda, don't worry, got that covered, because it says treifa multiple times in the pasuk. Rav Meir chalamute shechita shehi lefnim v'chalamute of tamei. So, and according to Rabbi Meir, I need both treifas. One, to tell me shechita of a carbon done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Two, non-kosher birds. So Rav Yehuda min nevela nafkale, and Rav Yehuda says, I learned from nevela. Rav Meir hai nevela my avile, l'shir achila b'chazayis. How much do I need to eat in order to contract the tuma, the shear of kezayis? But typically, mikra kama mide'afke rachmana b'lashin achila. The Torah says, wait a second, I already knew it's a kezayis. Remember, achila is code for kezayis. Every time the Torah says the words achila, I know it's a shear, and I know the shear of achila is always going to be kezayis. Chal shear achila b'chazayis v'chal l'shir achila b'chtei achilas pras. Two aspects. Amount and time that you have to eat it within. Look, this is such a chiddush. Meaning, we don't have this anywhere else in Kol HaTorah Kula, where something is tamei, but you're only going to get the tumah when you eat it. So this is not regular achila. This is not like eating Karm Pesach. This is not like eating non-kosher food. This is, you only get the tumah when you eat the food. So I might have thought, look, the amount is a kezayis, but the time frame, I would have thought maybe it's a different time frame. Even if I eat beyond kedei achilas pras, more than the 9 minutes allotted to me. So achilas pras, namely tamei kamash malan. That's the chiddush. Okay, period. All right, and that really ends the back and forth between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Okay, sof kol sof, when the day's over, the issues are still the same issues. Really, the extent of our time so far this morning has been spent on where the source of these issues come from. But the issue is, you do malika on a bird which is a treifa. Did the malika at least save it from being tamei? So our mayor says, yeah, it did, because malika is like shechita, and therefore it saves it. According to the Mishnah, it's based on a kav v'chomer. According to the Gemara, it's based on a drasha. However you want to understand the source, it is... it's basically malika equals shechita. That's a simple way to say it. And Rav Yehuda says no. Only if the malika was successful as making it a kosher karban, then it's okay. Otherwise, if for example it's a treifa, the animal, the bird, I should say, is going to still be tummy. The malika is not going to save it. And the halacha between the two, between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir trumps Rav Yehuda? Is that, I don't know. I don't know. Rav Yossi trumps. I don't, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, I don't know.
Is that Rav Yehuda?
Rav Yehuda. The bird's going to be tummy. Okay. Fine. And according, and just mind you, by the way, that according to Rav Meir, this is true by Malika, and this is true by Shechita. Both. Right. There is a middle opinion, which is the Rav Yossi position. Rav Yossi says Shechita is going to save it from being Tameh, but not Malika. Okay.
Oh,
Rav
Yehuda says that even Shechita doesn't help.
Rav Yehuda says nothing helps. Okay. Right. By a bird, birds are categorically different, I mean, according to Rav Yehuda. Right, in other words, right, because of the treifa nevela drasha. Birds are just categorically different. So in the world of birds, either the shechita made it edible, and then it's not nevela, obviously, or if the shechita is no good, it's a nevela. Period. That's the... Rav Yehuda is very fundamental in this regard. Right? And Rav Meir is also very fundamental the other way. Right? Rav Meir says, no, if I do a shechita / malika, either one of them, and procedurally I did good... so then I saved it from being an avela. And then the middle ground of Rav Yossi. Right? Okay.
All the subsequent that Rabbi Yehuda got from the sources are right also?
Right. That's right. That's an excellent point. Right? That once... right, we work backwards. Once we hold like Rav Yehuda, and then all the other drushas should follow in tow with Rav Yehuda. Okay. Let's go on. Okay, we're on Ayin Amud Aleph. We are now... going to spend just a little bit of time back on the chelav discussion. Okay? Tana Rabbanan v'chelav nevela v'chelav treifa v'chelav behema tahara akasav medaber. Okay, chelav of an animal. Chelav of nevela, chelav of treifa. So you can, it's not going to be tame. Okay, please understand. Animal dies, it's a nevela. It's going to give off tuma. What's going to give off tuma? The entire animal? No. Only the meat of the animal. The meat of the animal is going to give up tuma. Right? The bones of the animal, no.
The skin?
Yes. Skin, no. Right? Only the meat of the animal is going to give up tuma. And not the fats as well. Interesting. The chaylev you're not allowed to eat, but you can get benefit from it. In the good old days when they used to, you know, have something right before electricity, so and they needed light, so they would burn. What would they burn? Right? Fats. Right? Oil, but fat. Even forbidden fats. Chaylev. They would burn forbidden fats. And you'll find all right in the Yoredeya, in the Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, you're gonna find, you know, a number of cases where, you know, I was burning my light right next to my food, and some of the fat from the light fell into the food. And right, it's interesting because you're so allowed to get benefit from it. That's the Torah says that's what it's there for. You're just not allowed to eat it, and then it gets mixed into your food. And okay, it turns into a kashrus discussion. But before the kashrus discussion, you can benefit from it.
As long as you don't touch the meat, if you're in the rabbi in front of you and want to move it, an animal, you want to move it.
Right, but remember though, conveyance of tumah is maga and masa.
And you get the
either touching or carrying. So if you transport, pole is carrying.
But you still got to cut it open.
If you get on the road, then you've got to clear the road.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying if you, I guess it comes to a definition of what's masa, what's carrying, because carrying means shouldering the weight. So is moving it considered carrying? I'm not sure. That's.
You would cut it open to get the chaylev, you'd be tumah that night. And you
fine, I understood. But I'm saying, but if all you touched, in theory, if you says chaylev was separated from the animal, and all you touched was the chaylev, you're fine. You're totally fine.
This is both mean and Torah and mean.
Yeah, this is on every level, yes.
Kohanim excluded from this conversation, right?
This is not a Kohen discussion. This is a, Kohen have nothing to do with this. This is just a, this is not a mace. This is not a dead body. We're talking now about the carcass of an animal. It's a different category altogether.
There are no more restriction by the
Rabbanim. None. So chelav nevela chelav trefa bechelav behema tara katsav medaber. At omer bechelav behema tara katsav medaber. Oino ela bechelav behema tamea. So the assertion of this brisa is that we're talking about fats from a kosher animal. This is not true by fats of a non-kosher animal. Right, Amarta tir mechlal shkuta v'tir mechlal chelav. Ma kishtir mechlal shkuta b'tahara v'lo b'tmeah. Kishtir mechlal chelav b'tahara v'lo b'tmeah. This halacha is only by kosher animals, meaning by non-kosher animals. Carcass of non-kosher animals give off toma, meat and fats. Okay, meat and fats. Oh, klach l'derek zu. The Gemara says, sorry, this is still the brisa. Oh, klach l'derek zu. Tir mechlal nevela v'tir mechlal chelav. Ma kishtir mechlal nevela v'tmeh v'lo b'tahara. Av kishtir mechlal chelav v'tmeh v'lo b'tahara. Maybe not. Maybe this halacha specifically by non-kosher animals. Amarta kishaba b'derek zu b'tahara kishaba b'derek zu b'tmeh. Now look, the brisa says, I'm not sure which way we should approach it. Tamalama trefa mishiesh b'mina trefa. So that's what trefa is signaling off. Because look, trefa, the word trefa, once I say that word, I'm obviously talking about kosher animals. There's no such thing as a trefa in the world of non-kosher animals. Right? Trefa means I could have ate it, but it got punctured. By non-kosher animals, we never start with I could have eaten it. I can't. So trefa already signals off that we're talking about species of the kosher animals. So now the Gemara says, okay. So tamalama va'achol lo sochlu mi shechel ba'asar v'sar muter yatzachaya shechel ba'uvesara muter. So the Gemara says, no, we're only talking about animals, domesticated animals. Chaya, non-domesticated animals that are excluded because their chaylev and basar are same. Same meaning, by chayos, by non-domesticated animals, I'm allowed to eat the chaylev of non-domesticated animals. So, amalei adkan divrei habraisa, that's the end of the braisa. Amalei Rav Yaakov bar Abba l'Rava, ela mi'ata nevelas behema tahora, hi de metama nevelas behema tamea, lo metama? I'm just a little bit confused by the braisa. What's the braisa saying? That the carcass of a kosher animal gives off tumah. Carcass of a non-kosher animal doesn't give off tumah. That's what the Bryce is saying. So Amalei kamasabi shibashtu ba. A lot of older people, I don't know what the knock on older people is. Kamasabe shibashtuba. A lot of older people made that same mistake. Seifa asal lenevelas of tame. No. When it comes to animals, carcass of an animal gives off tama. Kosher, not kosher, doesn't matter. Carcass of an animal is always going to give off tama. The distinction that the end of the braisa is making between kosher versus not kosher, it's talking about birds. Right. Only kosher birds, carcass of kosher birds give off tama. Carcass of non-kosher birds do not give off tama. Okay, good. That's according to everybody.
Oh, okay.
That's according to everybody. Okay. Amar, the only Rav Meir Rav Yehuda discussion is, what if I shecht or molek a kosher bird? Okay.
The birds are only tama in terms of eating, but carrying and touching.
Correct. No conveyance of tama.
So what are we talking about then?
We're talking about
eating.
Oh, eating. And that whenever we say tuma by a bird, we mean eating. Yes, so eating. Okay. Last bit of discussion here in the seventh parak. Oh, great bit of discussion. Amar Rav Yochanan Lotira Meir Ela Bismimim. Ava Bali Momim Lo. What's the extent of Rav Meir? Right? Great question. Rav Meir says that you do malika on a bird, and even though the bird's a treifa, it's not going to give off tumma. Your malika saved it. Okay. Now, essentially, I'm going to couch the whole discussion of this Gemara here basically into the following arena. Malika, right, which we've been discussing now throughout the entire seventh parak. Is that basically shechita? Right? Is that a substitute for shechita? In the Beis HaMikdash, instead of doing shechita, the Torah gives us another way to kill an animal, malika. But malika is basically shechita. And whatever shechita accomplishes outside the Beis HaMikdash, malika would accomplish in the Beis HaMikdash. Or no. Malika is more specific. It's more limited. Meaning, it's not just malika substitute shechita. It's that malika that allows me to bring it as a carbon, only that is considered something that'll quote unquote save the bird from being it. Now look, Rav Yehuda, his position is really the clearest. Meaning, Rav Yehuda says, look, either it's a carbon, or what you did is nothing. Right. Here, the Gemara wants to know, where's Rav Meir in all this? Meaning, because I'll tell you what we know about Rav Meir. If the bird's a treifa and I do malika, okay, the malika was good. Meaning, you can't eat it, obviously. But at least it'll save the bird from being tameh. How about this? So, good. Now that I framed the whole discussion. So, I'm Rav Yochanan, lo tiyeh Rav Meir, ela b'tmima, val b'bali momim lo. What if the bird's a bal mom? Now, it takes a lot for a bird to be a bal mom. It's got to have a missing leg, a missing wing, an eye gouged out. Okay, it's, you know, birds and but still,
so
what if it's a bal mom? Can malika fix that? So Rav Yochanan says, no. Malika can't fix that, because I need it to look like a carbon. Right. Because malika is not just shechita in the Beis HaMikdash. Malika is, it's got to inform, be look like a carbon. Now, mind you, keep this in mind. We're talking about a treifa over here. I can't offer the treifa on the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach, but it looks like a carbon.
But it's a treifa only on the inside that you
correct.
See.
Here when we say a balmum, right, we're talking about an actual physical blemish. So, and Rabbi Lazar says, no, I disagree. Even if the bird is a balmum, Rav Meir would still say the malika worked. You hear, according to Rabbi Lazar, malika is much more like shechita. Meaning, by shechita, we don't care if the animal is deformed or it doesn't matter. And Rav Elazar says, yeah, same thing over here. Even if the bird's a bal mom, the malika would be effective. Of course not to eat it, of course not to bring it as a carbon, but at least enough to remove tumah. In manami amarabibi amarav Elazar mataya rabbi meir bebali momim v'afil be'ivzim v'tarnigolin. It's unbelievable the places we're going to go right now. Right? Rabibi quotes in the name of Rabbi Elazar, you know how far Rav Meir would take this idea of malika? Even if it's a chicken, Now, can I go into the Beis HaMikdash and offer chicken on the Mizbeach? The answer is never. Never. Chicken is chicken's wonderful. I happen to like chicken. Okay? But it can't be used in the Beis HaMikdash ever. And meanwhile, Rav Meir's telling you that if you do Malika on a chicken, good for you. You save the chicken from being a Nevela. Okay. Right? And again, if you process that, that's amazing. I understand Malika is never done on a chicken. Yeah, but in the Beis HaMikdash, Malika is Shechita. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Rav Meir, Bebali Mum, Vapil Bebzim, Patan Golan, by Rav Yirmiya. Arav Eiz Mahu. Okay, the Gemara's look at where we're going now. Right? What about a goat? What if I do Malika on a goat? Now, you want to talk about strength of thumbnail.
I was going to say.
It's crazy.
Even on a chicken.
Now, by the way, Phil, what are you going to say? Right? We're talking, maybe not even the fingernail. Now we're talking about a knife.
Right.
From
the back of the head.
But from the back of the neck.
Right.
Would Rav Meir now... Okay, let's make sure I'm going to be as clear as day. What we're not entertaining is whether or not you can eat it or not eat it. That's not in the discussion. Okay, that's clear. You cannot eat it. You didn't give it a proper shechita. But at least according to Rav Meir, are we now still able to say Malika? We saved it from being tame. It's not a nevela. So look at the extent we're going. Barav Yirmiya, Arav Eiz Mahu. What if I do it to a goat from the
which
back of the neck?
Just
wait 1 second. So he's in the golden time on my demeanor. The offos nenu. Maybe chicken is a bird. Okay, so maybe Malika is bird centric. It's a bird discussion. But avalayz lav mina the eglan nenu. But a goat, right? It's not. What is a goat? Oh, Dilma mina de behemahu, or maybe I'm sorry. Aval eiz lav mina de eglahu. Oh, Dilma mina de behemahu. So the Gemara says, or maybe it would work. Yosef Rav Dimi bekama leila hashmaita amalei abai mechlad de egla rufa tahori. You know what you're saying. If you listen carefully, you know what you're saying.
Right.
You're saying that when I go to the egla rufa, that's the animal that I decapitate from the back of the neck. That's because the Torah says do it. Right, and in the end of Parsha Shoftim, the Torah says if there's a murdered body between two cities, we figure out which city is more proximate to the murdered body, and they go through the process, the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, where the Torah says take the animal and decapitate it from the back of the neck. And you want to tell me that that animal's not a nevela? Listen to what you're saying. You're saying the animal's not a nevela, right? Because you quote unquote you molaked it.
It's a nevela, but there's no
tumah. That's not an edible.
No,
because why doesn't it convey tumah?
Because it's like malika and
shechita. Right. Right. That's
equates it.
Fine. So
because that's why the Torah has to do it.
Fine. So exactly. It's exactly what I'm saying. So Amarle in. So his answer is yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much what I'm saying. I am saying that. I'm a debate Rav Yana Kaparuksi Bekakashim. Because look, in the world of Egla Rufa, it's not a carbon, but it's like a carbon. It provides an atonement, much like a carbon does. The Torah uses the word kapara when it describes the Egla Rufa. Yeah.
But it never says to do it on a goat.
Yeah, but didn't...
Agreed. Right?
Didn't you learn that somebody who actually prepares the Egla Rufa becomes tummy themselves?
You're confusing. That's paraduma.
Paraduma.
Right? Right? So ksiv be kikashim. So meisav Rav Nasan avud Rav Huna va'achal osochlu ainli ala chelav shasar ba'achila muter ba'na chelav shoshura haniskal ve'egla rufa minayin tamalomer kol chelav. So the fats of even this brisa says even the shor haniskal and the egla rufa, the fats are going to be tameh. Now, you know where we are right now. Well, I mean, we're at the end of the seventh parak, but you're right. you know what we're saying right now? We're saying that when I do a decapitation on the Egla Rufa, so the animal itself, you saved it from being tame. What about the fats of the animal? Oh, they're going to be
permitted for use.
Tamalama kochel visa kadach Egla Rufa tahorehi he tahora the chelba tame. So now, based on this drasha, wow, it's weird. Meat of it is going to be okay because I did a proper, whatever you want to call it now. I didn't even know what to call it. Shechita / malika / arufa.
Have you ever
arifa. So v'havachal b'tame. And meanwhile, the fats are going to be forbidden. So hecha da arif mi arif lo itzurichlei ki itzurichlei hecha de shachta mishkan. So the Gemara says, oh, no. If you do arifa as per the instruction of the Torah, so then you're good. We're talking about a case where I shechted it. Tahana l'shchita latar mi de nevela. So the Gemara says, if you're shechting it, look, you didn't do the mitzvah, but don't call it a nevela. You shechted it. So the Gemara says, well, no, okay, fine, you're right. We're talking about a case where it died. Ah, we're talking about a case where it died. The Mechayin Asura. So the Gemara says, well, if it died, so when did it ever become? When did it ever become an egla rufa? The Gemara says, no, it actually does become an egla rufa even before you kill it. In Amarabiana Gvul Shamati, there was some boundary, meaning I know there's a point of demarcation where it actually becomes an egla rufa before you actually chop it in the back of the neck. Shamati v'shachachti, and you know what? I forgot what that actual designation is. V'nizben chaverai, and I got together all my friends, and l'meimar, yiridasa l'nachal eisan hi osrasa. Yeah, the moment you start walking it down to nachal eisan, that's when it becomes asr. Okay, Hadron Allah Chatasa'of, that's the end of Chatasa'of. Last discussion that we had in the Perek was a discussion of to what degree Rav Meir says Malika equals Shkita, right? By meaning even by non-carbon birds, even by non-birds, right? Goats and okay, is he gonna go to that extent? All right. Let's begin. Eighth parak, I'll start off with a short word about the eighth parak. Eighth parak is fantastic. Okay, Tarovis. We're going to learn all the laws of Tarovis. We learned it in the Avodah Zarah. We're going to review them again in the eighth parak of Zvachim. It's extraordinarily exciting, and it's not a short parak as well. And the exciting part for me is that the dapim are really short. So not just today's daf, which is the Ayin Aleph, but right, if you leaf through, you will see short dapim. Right, because a lot of Tarovis discussion, Tosfos has much to say over here because a lot of mixtures. Right, Isser and Heter get mixed up together, and what do I do when the Isser and Heter get mixed up together? And even though we're in Zvachim, a lot of halacha lemaisa, a lot of practical halacha that are going to be jumping off the pages of the eighth parak of Zvachim. Let's just start the eighth parak. Kol haZvachim shenesarva bechatas amesos abeshor aniskal afila achz beribu yamusu. Yamusu Kulan, sorry. I have karbanos that get mixed up with chatos amesos. Five chataos, five different carbon chatoses that need to be put to death. The owner died, the animal got lost, it got replaced. The fetus of a carbon chatos.
An older one.
A chatos that's too old. Okay, and it no longer can be offered. So what do you do with it? You can't redeem it, you can't even wait till it gets a blemish and redeem it. You must let it die. We don't kill it with our hands. We just simply let it die. We starve it to death. Okay. So and sar balei chayim, and you're not allowed to inflict pain on animals. Correct. But when there's a purpose, when the Torah says to, so then we do. Right. Fine. So and that's what we do over here.
Well,
and
the, you just have to.
We do.
You starve it though.
We have to starve it.
Huh? Right. In other words, we don't. Correct. Okay. And so the first chiddush of the Mishnah is we don't say bittul. One carbon chatas got mixed up with 1,000 other carbonos. We don't say bittul, and they all got to go. And many times the rabbi stepped in. I mean, you're going to see this theme again and again in the eighth parak. And the rabbis inhibited bittul, right? Bittul blockers. Oh, now I'm speaking your language.
In a previous mission, the concept of bittul applies to things that are quantified as a whole, not like one.
Okay, good, good. And we're going to learn, and we're going to discuss why it is that the chachamim stepped in and blocked bittul. So nisarva b'shor shana. Huh? Okay, we'll talk. There's a lot to talk about. Nisarvu b'shur shenavda bo avera o shehemis es ha'adam api eidechar o api abalim. If the animal gets mixed up with a animal that was served as a vodazara or an animal that killed, but the animal was not put to death because
only one
witness, The owner himself was the one who testified. Rova v'nirva, animal was involved in the bestiality. Muksa, set aside for avodah zara. Navad, navad actually served, worshipped. Esnan u'mechir, animal was a transaction for prostitution. Animal was exchanged for a dog. One of the stranger isurim in the Torah. An animal that was used in exchange for a dog cannot be brought as a karban. Esnan zona u'mechir kelev. Right? Okay, it's out there. Okay, esnan u'mechir beklai, I'm sorry, u'mechir klayim, an animal that was crossed, trefa, an animal that's a trefa. Gemara later on is going to discuss, can't you just simply see that it's a trefa? How did it get mixed up? Okay, yotze dolphin, cesarean. So in these cases, yirat shistavu, here, at least the solution is going to be a little bit better. Meaning there's no bittul, but here you can allow the entire mixture to develop a blemish. Now redeem all the animals, because you don't have to let these animals die. You can sell the animals. And I have to assume that the nicest animal there was the carbon, and I'm going to have to use the money of the quote-unquote best animal, the most valuable animal, to bring its replacement carbon that I owed. Okay, we'll pause over here. I know we're in the middle of the Mishnah. We'll pause over here. We'll pick it up from the end of the Mishnah. And, okay, good. And Tarovis and a lot of great stuff coming up. Okay, great Gemara is up ahead.